Welcome to the Strengthening a Palliative Approach in Long-Term Care Alliance podcast, exploring challenges and best practices in palliative care approaches for individuals in long-term care.
Today on the podcast, we're joined by retired nurse, elder, and knowledge keeper Geraldine Smith and guest host and researcher Mary Lou Kelly to talk about Geraldine's career as an Indigenous nurse and her many contributions to palliative care for Indigenous people. Welcome to the podcast, Geraldine and Mary Lou.
Thank you.
Wonderful to be here.
Mary Lou, thank you for being our guest host today for this important conversation. I understand that you and Geraldine have known each other for some time now.
I met Geraldine in about 2015. So, Geraldine, you've had a long and important career as an Indigenous nurse in which you've made many contributions to clients, your community, and national palliative care initiatives. Now you're retired and working as an elder, helping to advise and support the work of the Canadian Virtual Hospice, Lakehead University Center for Education and Research on Aging and Health, their palliative care education, and the Regional Home Care Program in Manitoba. So we are so grateful that you're willing to come and share your time and insights with us today.
Thank you very much, Mary Lou.
Can you tell us a bit about your career as a nurse, how it got started, and how you became so passionate about palliative care?
I actually started caring in the healthcare when I was very young. I was a volunteer. I was a candy striper in those days. And it just so happened that the first patient I had to look after was end of life care. And I sat with him until he passed. I became a healthcare aide. From there, I laddered up to a LPN. And from there, I went into my RN and just kept on going from there. And end-of-life care, as it was called then, I became passionate in it when I was working in the north. And when I came back to the south, you know, finding out there wasn't any palliative care then in First Nations. They didn't really know what that word was. And in the early 90s, I started presenting about palliative care across Canada through home care. First Nations Home Care helped setting up that program. And I've just been passionate with it ever since.
So you've had so much experience, and as you said, sometimes starting the conversation is a bit difficult. Can you share some of your wisdom about how you introduce the topic of palliative care and how you go about supporting people at the end of life?
What a lot I have learned is from the community in Peguis. I was away for a number of years and I went back to work there. It seems in First Nations, everybody knows you. They know your family background. And where you're not known, I just, you know, go in and introduce myself. And usually by then I'll know what the, you know, I've been contacted. I know what the diagnosis is. I know a little bit about the family. And I just go in and introduce myself, speak to them and ask, how can I help? What do you need? And I sit and I listen to what they are saying. And it's a great honor to be there. You show a lot of respect. And at the same time, you realize working with the family and listening to them, that's where it comes. Can they stay at home or not? Is there family members who can help out? The equipment, can you get the equipment? Can you get the medication? You know, in the south, it's easier to get medication. In the north, not so easy. Also, in the north, it depends on the size of the community and the number of staff. Is there enough staff in that community, there may only be one nurse and one healthcare aide. So a lot depends on that. And is there doctors available? Is there family members willing to look after that medication? So, you know, they want to stay at home. They don't want to be taken from their home, from their community.
Jerry, I remember you telling me that sometimes, when you start these end-of-life conversations with the family about all the things you mentioned, it's a real relief to them because nobody's really talked to them about it before you come.
A lot of times they weren't spoken to about it. They didn't even know, their diagnosis, and they don't realize they were that sick. And once they realize what they're, you talk to them and let them know, what do they want? They want to stay at home. They don't want to go to the big centers. They don't want to leave the communities because they know if they leave, they won't come back. And that comes from history, from trauma, from leaving home, things that have happened to them. Leaving home, are they going to come back or not? That's one of the big fears there, in the community. So you're going to do your best to keep them at home if the resources are there and the family are there to help, because you may be the only person there, and so then you're speaking to the whole family then to see if they can care for their loved one, and it's a lot of dignity. The men, they want their sons to look after them, to wash them and care for them. They don't want anybody else to do that. So we respect all that. We respect what they're telling you.
That's such an important thing for people to understand. Are there any other things about culture and spirituality that you would like to really emphasize?
Oh, there is so much about culture and spirituality. No two communities are the same. They're all different. That's why you're listening. You're really listening so good on what they are saying and what they want. And, do they want ceremony while you're there? You respect that. And sometimes you have a family, and you may have Christian and traditional. So sometimes you're sort of a referee in there. They don't want to give those pain meds, or, it's going to put them to sleep. They're going to get addicted. There's so much in there. And and then the other way is we never, ever say don't take your traditional meds. We always let the doctor know they're on traditional meds, but they do take those traditional meds. And, it's just such an honor to be there and to learn about their cultures and about their ways. There is a lot of ceremony that the families go through. And you, as a nurse, as a helper, were there just to help them and give them guidance and that love when the family needs it. We don't tell them what to do at all. They have done that kind of care with their people for many, many years. And those helpers just come in and start helping with the family. There's always two family members to look after their meds keep count. And one of the things we had talked about before was a memory book. I always take in a booklet and a book and give it to the family to write in. And whether they have visitors or not, or who's been there, what have they been talking about, and it's also used too as a med book when they've given them their medication. So with that book afterwards, they can look back in that book and see what happened this day, what happened that day, because often they don't remember a lot. And we're always talking to the patient, to their loved one. We're always making sure that they know what's going on, that they can hear what's going on.
Jerry, you've been such a champion nationally for improving access to palliative care for all Indigenous people. Why do you feel so strongly that having access to palliative care is important?
Because they've looked after their own for years and years. Now the tools are there. You can tap into all the tools out there. The doctors, the medications, the equipment, it's all there available. They should, why shouldn't they have it to care for their loved ones?
Because the access to the medication and some of the medical expertise is, you know, complementary to all their community love and support.
My first patient was in the early 90s in Peguis, and we had no palliative care. We didn't have anything. So we thought, well, how can we get equipment? So the staff got together, and they held two community bingos to raise funds for equipment. And out of those funds, they bought the electric bed, the special mattress, bedside table, everything a client needed. Once we had that equipment, we could take somebody home. We went to the senior home and borrowed their van, asked if we could borrow it. We got our driver, and we got one family member. The son came. We all met at the hospital, and, you know, we took him home. And he was so thankful to be at home. And it was there, too, that I learned a lot about ceremony through that family. And after he passed, what was done? The fire started outside, and it burns for 4 days. Also, when he did pass, the windows were all opened to let the spirit go. And it was the family who looked after him, did the cedar bath, and put on what he was going to wear. I always leave it up to the family to call the funeral home. Have them call so they have time to visit with their loved one, to say their goodbyes. Throughout all that, you have community members visiting. You have community members pulling together. They bring food. They come over, tidy the house. They sit and visit with the family and support them.
You know, when you talked about this is your first client in the 90s. Now, you must have seen a big change in the home care program by the time you retired in 2015, largely through your own advocacy for all the things you mentioned.
Now we have you have the palliative care doctor will go out to visit in the home. We never had that years ago. We also have the paramedics on the ambulance too that do visits. There's only 8 long-term care homes in all of Manitoba and First Nations. But those clients at the same time, if they want to go home, I know in Peguis, they can go home and pass at home. And family will look after them. It's up to them. It's up to the family to do that. But in a long-term care home, too, staff are trained in palliative care. In the South, I know there's a lot that have taken Lakehead course. They don't have that in the North. They don't have the connectivity for that, too, in a lot of the communities. So, you know, that is really needed in in long-term care, and a lot more homes in those communities. So they, when somebody is palliative care, they get to stay in the community. They don't have to go out and go to a hospital in a big city.
Because many Indigenous people are being cared for in long-term care homes that are not Indigenous homes. Mm-hmm. And that's because, as you pointed out, there are so few at this time Indigenous long-term care homes. What advice would you give to the non-Indigenous long-term care homes?
Community members, family go to visit. When they're in long-term care homes, people just drop in and visit. You know, there is no visiting hours. We have to remember people travel many miles. They travel from another province to come and visit with their loved one, whether it's 2 o'clock in the morning when they arrive, they want to be there. So when you get a lot of people coming in, that's normal for Indigenous people. If they're in their own community, in a long-term care home, community can visit, family can visit. They don't have to leave their own community. That's so important to keep them at home.
I wonder if you can leave us with a few key messages from your experience, particularly directed at staff who are learning to do palliative care, maybe working in a long-term care home.
From the work I've done in palliative care, you have certain workers that are so wonderful in palliative care. And just remember, some of your workers can't do that. And in that long-term care, they are at home. So, you know, we'll continue to work on getting those long-term care homes in communities up and running to keep them home and have community staff trained to look after their own, as they have been doing for many, many years. It's the resources and the training.
Thank you so much, Jerry, for sharing this time with us.
Thank you very much, and it's been an honor to be speaking with you.
Geraldine, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and for all of the work that you do for Indigenous people and for all of us in Canada. We all have a lot to learn from you. And Mary Lou, thank you very much for being our guest host today. It was a pleasure to have you both on the podcast. And thank you again so much for joining us.
You've been listening to the Strengthening a Palliative Approach in Long-Term Care podcast. For more information about our project, visit spaltc.ca.